This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
What's up, preacher man?
Mass shooting in Orlando Industrial District. We have the details now on the Patriot Preacher. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Patriot Preacher, covering the news from a Christian perspective. Welcome to the program. I am Caleb Cockwitt here with you on this Monday morning. We do have some unfortunate developing news. This is a breaking news story. It was literally posted just about 2 minutes ago. This is being reported by our news partners at CNN. Apparently, five people have been reported dead in an Orlando workplace shooting. So there's this company, apparently, that manufactures cabinets. It's part of the industrial district down in Orlando, Florida. And though there's very few details right now, we're getting them as they come to us. Five people, including the shooter, are dead. So at least four victims plus the shooter have been confirmed dead in this shooting in Orlando, Florida. The police say, at least right now, there does not appear to be any connection to terrorism. It could just be a workplace violence incident. Now, typically, I tend to take that with a grain of salt with any developing story. This is in no way a slam against the police or the authorities in charge. I'm sure they're doing their best and being honest and forthcoming with everything that they have, but it could be discovered later that this is connected to terrorism. However, just on the onset, before I even saw this in the news report just a couple minutes ago when we had just seen this story break, I noticed that it didn't really have any of the telltale signs of a Islamic extremist or terrorist attack. It doesn't fit the MO because it happened at a workplace. This is not necessarily somewhere where you would get a lot of publicity. And so it's possible. It's very possible that we find out in the coming hours that this was a terrorist attack. But at least on the onset, with the details that we have so far, it seems far more likely that actually this is a incident of either just a crazy person or a workplace violence between coworkers. But as of right now, the police are not looking for an active shooter. Everything that they have seen thus far leads them to believe that the shooter acted alone before turning the firearm on himself. So right now what we've got is five people dead, including the shooter himself, who has killed himself, it looks like, and four victims who have been killed. No report on those who have been injured. It looks like the sheriff's office has issued a brief statement saying that the situation is contained and stable, according to a local news affiliate there in Orlando. So there are a couple reasons, and I'm just going to, because we don't know yet, throw out a couple of scenarios and observe what's likely and what's not. Now, here recently, Orlando has been, oddly enough, not sure exactly why this is necessarily the case, but there's a little bit of history with terrorism there. Keep in mind that roughly a year ago, Orlando was the site of the deadliest terror attack since 9/11. The shooting at the Pulse nightclub, which is a gay bar in Orlando. That actually was connected to terrorism. It was a Muslim terrorist taking out gay people because, of course, one of the teachings, according to their version of their religion, according to them, gay people can be executed. This is something that we see pretty frequently with repressive Muslim regimes over in the Middle East. They punish homosexuality through the penalty of death. So we saw that. And then, interestingly enough, and I didn't see this reported a whole lot because it wound up being nothing, but there were also apparently bomb threats around the Pulse nightclub here just recently, about a year after the original attack. Turns out that they weren't explosives. They weren't bombs like they had been threatened. The I guess it was either bags or suitcases that had been left sort of in the area. But after some investigation, they found out there was nothing to that. They had been left, but they weren't actually explosive. So that was a attempt to drum up concerns and terror, but it was really more of a hoax than anything. So Orlando, that community has had a really rough time of it here in the past year because of all that. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims. But right now, at least, it does not appear that this has any connection with terrorism whatsoever. We're still getting details, so not only my coverage, but virtually any coverage that comes out is going to be shaky at best, just from the nature of we're getting information sort of trickling in right now. This apparently has all happened within the last hour, so we will do the very best that we can to keep you abreast of the situation. Looks like now they are continuing to report. I've just seen the new story that they've brought up. They say that they're very confident that terrorism did not play a role in the shooting. So this is probably more akin to like the Aurora theater shooting, something of that nature. Not necessarily a terrorist, just a crazy person that went out and decided to shoot people. So that does appear to be the scene right now. The scene's controlled. It's quiet. They are not pursuing a shooter at this moment just because they believe that there was only one person involved and he's dead. So they're really just kind of securing the scene, gathering evidence at this point. Hopefully that means that there won't be any more casualties, I guess, unless he injured somebody and they succumbed to their injuries later. We don't have any reports of any injuries, at least not yet. The FBI has just announced that they're going to be assisting the investigation just in case. So that's all we've got right now. We're going to go ahead and take a break and then move on to the news that we had scheduled for today because, frankly, there's just not any new information coming in right now. We will keep an eye on it, give you any details as they start to come in. But Orlando is a city that definitely needs prayers right now. Like I said, they've had a rough year after the Pulse nightclub shooting. It's got to be a tough time to be in Orlando right now with all this happening. It's a big city, lots of vulnerable targets all over the place. And, you know, we hope that everything's all right with them. And it doesn't look like this one is connected to terrorism, which that doesn't help the victims or the families. I mean, it's better that it's not a terrorist-connected incident for us, but to them, their family members are just as gone. So pray for the families and those suffering with this, and also pray, because we don't have any reports of any injured yet, but there certainly could be. There may be some people still fighting for their lives after this. So let's remember to keep them in our prayers as well. Unfortunately, the world has seen its fair share of death this past weekend. Hopefully we can do better. We'll be back. People writing
songs that voices never. This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
You do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and happier people than you are. George Washington.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and newsradio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to weigh in, and we've got a couple callers looking to respond to what we're talking about. Let's go to John from Millbrook on line one. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
I knew somebody would mention it.
Yeah, well, I was around for the thing, so I just...
Yeah, you were kind of there, weren't you?
I was kind of there.
For those of you who don't know, John from Millbrook's my dad.
And we're speaking of Caleb's birthday, too. Not John, not mine. So, happy birthday, Preacher Man.
Thank you, Joe. So what's on your mind this morning?
Well, I missed the first segment, and I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about this transpired. I really don't know.
Well, actually, I appreciate you calling to tell me happy birthday, but I went to your call right away because I was figuring you were wanting to respond to that. But for those of you who may have missed the opening monologue, this will be a good recap for you. We just found out that 5 people have died in a Orlando mass shooting. This just broke a few minutes ago, and the situation is stable. The sheriff's department has announced that they're not looking for an active shooter because the only person they believe that was involved is dead. So there have been 5 people killed, including the shooter. And that's what
it
was in Orlando. It was in an industrial district, apparently some cabinet manufacturing place. So, but that's what's going on.
Well, we're never going to be rid of crazy people. And I know you said that it's probably not a terrorist situation, which it doesn't sound like it was. But those kinds of things have been, I'm 53, crazy things have been happening like that all of my life, and they're going to continue. I'm not saying that we need to dismiss them, but that isn't going to stop. It just gets more coverage now. We know more about it now because there's so many outlets from media that we can get that information from. Personally, people talk about it on the internet. We have social media, and it seems like a bigger deal now. Not that it isn't, but it seems much more so because of the amount of coverage everything gets.
I got a question for you. Where do you think the balance is in that? Because you don't want to get so accustomed to it and so used to it that you get desensitized to it to where it doesn't even affect you. But then at the same time, you also don't want to just go overboard every time something like this happens and think that it's something completely new, it's the worst thing that's ever happened, because then you just live in a constant state of panic. So where do you think the balance is in all of that?
Well, I think the balance for the individual person is to truly have concern for it. When you mentioned it just a minute ago, we need to pray for the families that are going through this and dealing with that. That's the best thing we can do, especially from a distance, from strangers that we don't know. That's all we can do. And I think that's the best reaction to have. There's not much else people that are so far removed from it like us, unless it's a family member or something, you know what I'm saying? That's all we can do. So, and continuing to repeat it over and over again doesn't really help anything. Showing support in that kind of way is it, I guess, because no, we don't need to be nonchalant about violence when people lose their lives like that at all. So it's a tragedy, and we need to show concern for fellow human beings. That's about all we can do.
You know, I'm sort of changing gears here, still talking about the same thing, but in a different light, a different perspective. I think that sometimes we get into the mentality that, and I hear people say this all the time as a minister as well, that all you can do is pray. And I think that that's a little bit of a defeatist attitude, almost like, well, it's not like we can actually do anything productive, so we're just going to kind of sit here and pray because it's the last recourse that we have. And I think that people,
best recourse we have.
Exactly, that should be our first reaction. We should do that before we do anything else, even if we're involved in the situation. And so I think that a lot of people kind of look at prayer as this last ditch effort when you can't actually do anything that'll help, you just pray. When really we should be looking at it as the opposite, that we should go to prayer first, that we should look at that as the most productive thing that we can do, and anything else is just follow up.
All right. Well, I'll let someone else get on, and I appreciate the update on this because I wasn't aware.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. And I wasn't aware either. I actually just found out I was I was over in the other studio putting the Biscuit Minute in because that's part of my job as well, and just scrolling through my news feed and noticed that popped up, and I thought that it was some kind of like one of those look backs at the Pulse nightclub shooting. And I was like, hey, it must be the year anniversary, because I knew that the year anniversary was coming up for the Pulse nightclub shooting. Anyway, picked it up, and of course it's a new attack. Again, this one doesn't look like it's connected to terrorism. We'll find out the details on that in a little bit. But unfortunately, it does seem as though we're catching our fair share of repeats on this. Speaking of that, this weekend was a pretty rough weekend when it came to terrorist attacks. Now, of course, the Orlando shooting looks like it's not a terrorist attack, but There's one that we know that has been, and we have several more details on that. There's news breaking just recently on that as well. The London attacks that happened this weekend. There was the attack on London Bridge where they had the terrorist had vans that they were swerving into pedestrians. And then, of course, just minutes away, we had the, I believe it was that close a distance. At least the reports came in. It seemed to be nearby. There was a stabbing at a marketplace. And in this attack, which they are investigating as though they could be connected, we don't know for sure if the attackers were coordinated with one another. It just kind of happened to take place at the same time. There are 7 dead, 48 hospitalized, combined with these two incidents in England. The van plowing into pedestrians as they're walking on the London Bridge, the stabbing incident. According to this, there are 3 suspects that have been shot. During the incident, the police officers took them down. They say that this is an unprecedented number of rounds used by British authorities, which I'm glad to see, because typically British authorities don't actually have firearms, and this is a big problem. They have only their special units have firearms. Maybe this will have England looking into those policies. Maybe, I mean, it looks like they were able to respond pretty quickly to this one, but maybe they'll rethink some of their policies on their authorities being armed. I don't know. That's really a question for them. Just something to think about. But the new details that we're coming out with is that it looks like the officials are ready to release the details coming up soon. Again, like the Orlando shooting, we're just going to kind of keep an eye on the news feed, check in with them and see when they do that. But they have announced that they have ID'd the 3 suspects, so we're going to learn more about them here very shortly. There have been 11 detained in connection to this terror attack, so obviously they believe that there's at least the possibility that this was coordinated amongst multiple people. We saw this in the Manchester bombing that happened not even 2 weeks ago. So London's had a rough go of it this past week, past few weeks. The Manchester bombing, there were about a dozen, if I'm remembering correctly, that were detained in that, suspects of that. So all these attacks, it looks like they are coordinated. They're at least considering that possibility, holding on to some of the suspects, looking for that. We are going to get to the phones, talk to you about this, but we do have a hard break that's coming up here in just about 10 seconds. So we're going to get back in just a moment. Take it away, Rush.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440, as always, are the numbers. Talking about the London attack that happened this weekend with 7 dead and 48 hospitalized, and combined with the 2 incidents, of course, the van plowing into pedestrians as it drove past on the London Bridge, and then the stabbing that took place in the marketplace nearby. We have a caller waiting on the line. We got Simpler Days on line 1, so let's talk to him. Good morning, Simpler Days.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing all right. How are you?
Well, doing pretty good for a Monday. It's kind of cloudy and overcast, but it's still a great day.
That is true. Any day you get to wake up and be alive, you're doing pretty good.
And Caleb,
it is a gift. Hey, just wanted to comment on the shooting in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. If
more than 7 people are killed, it gets a fancy name. It gets a label, mm-hmm, of a mass shooting, and it opens the door for, you know, federal resources and all this other stuff. But the sad thing about it is that multiple people have been killed all across this country, in this state, in domestic violence incidents where they'll kill multiple members of their family, go next door, kill the neighbor, kill a law enforcement officer, just like in Mississippi this recently.
Right.
But and people are alarmed, you know, that they hear this catch name, this terrorist thing, when actuality is that they're a lot more likely to be killed by someone they know, someone in the inner circle, and they're certainly more likely to be killed in a traffic accident. They flirt with death every day on the roadways, but yet we have this, you know, we've been programmed into this fear mode now of this international terrorism thing. And
yeah, why do you think that is simpler days? Why do you think that people kind of take that stance with it, that they seem to be far more worried about something like that happening than some of the things you're talking about that are actually statistically far more likely to end your life?
Well, the media has a lot to do with it, and they give things a catchy name, and then they fuel the fire. And it's just like with domestic violence. Interpersonal violence has gone on for years, multiple killings of family members and neighbors and law enforcement, but it didn't get until the O.J. Simpson case till it got its catchy name of domestic violence.
Right.
And see, that's what the media does. That's what, and they'll fan the fire, and workplace violence is probably what this is going to be, and it's been going on for a long time. But if we put all of the resources and all of the attention that we put on something that we have very little control over to the things that we can control, such as the fatalities on the roadway and domestic violence in the homes and in our neighborhoods, we have some control over that, but we have very little control over international terrorists, but we whip people into this frenzy.
See, I think, and you hit the nail on the head, simpler days. Honestly, I think the fact that we have no control over it is part of the reason we get whipped up into that frenzy. Because even if we're not necessarily doing as much about it, I think that because people have that feeling of helplessness, that's what scares them so much about things like terrorism. I could be wrong, but that's just from a psychological standpoint. I think that that plays a large role in the reason that this gets so much more attention.
Well, when you have one of these events, you know, the media will have some international terrorist person come on, and they'll talk about terrorism, and then they'll bring in a mayor or someone from a local jurisdiction, and they'll talk about what they're doing to fight. But it really didn't happen anywhere close. But why don't you bring those same people in and talk about what you're doing trying to control the massacre, the family wipeout, the killing of innocent children every day across this country. But they just accept that. There's an acceptance of that. It just seems to be out of kilter to me. We spend so much money on, you know, international terrorism and trying to, but we spend, you know, it's like we spend money on security and streetlights and alarm systems, but yet people are killing their family members and killing their neighbors and killing law enforcement officers, and it just doesn't get the same attention.
Yeah, I think you're right on that, simpler days, and I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Have a great day. You know, that is something that is difficult to deal with, and I'm not sure that there's necessarily an exact right way to respond to that, because we're responding to a situation that, he's right, when we're talking about terrorism, we have virtually no control over. And with the domestic violence, we may have some control over it, but I don't know, I guess it's because there's not that sensationalization, we maybe put some of the things we could do to help prevent it on the back burner, and maybe we think about it not affecting us as much, just because there's that stigma that goes along with it, and I think there's some truth to that, but I'm not sure exactly why that's the case or what the right or wrong answer is, because I don't think the response is to pay less attention to terrorism, but, you know, at the same time, we have a lot of different things that we can be paying attention to and a lot of problems to fix, and I'm not sure exactly where striking the right balance is there. So, interestingly enough, going back to what we were talking about with the London attack, here's the latest that we have on one of the suspects. Still no name, still not a way to ID him, but we have some sources that are giving us some insight into who this person was. Apparently, he became radicalized watching YouTube videos of Ahmad Musa Jibril, who's a famous imam from here in America who has recruited different people to the call of jihad. And the same friend that reported that this suspect became radicalized through this method, through watching these YouTube videos, is also the same friend that reported that he told police a long time ago that he believed that his friend had been radicalized and warned authorities there in England that he might do something untoward, but they failed to act. Now, I'm not trying to rail against the British authorities. They probably get quite a bit of these calls, and most of them turn up being nothing. I'm not trying to get inside their head. I don't know. They may have had way too much to do, but it is tragic, regardless of what it is, that they either didn't have the resources, the staff, or whatever it was, to look into this. And maybe it would have saved some lives. We don't know, but it, according to this source that was picked up by The Telegraph, which is a paper there in the UK, it doesn't look like they were able to do their due diligence and look into this case. Maybe it was because they just had too many hints to follow up on and they didn't have enough staff, whatever it may have been. But regardless, they didn't do any investigation into him. And unfortunately, this person wound up killing several people in England over this weekend. There was also a lady named Erica Gaspari, who is a Italian immigrant to England, who reported that this same person, that he was brainwashing her children into trying to convert them to Islam. In fact, she said that one of her sons came back one day telling her that he wanted to become a Muslim. And this guy had this same suspect had bragged that he had converted over a dozen disciples to Islam, ready to become martyrs for Muhammad. So it looks as though there were a few telltale signs that, unfortunately, there was not an investigation to follow up on this, but there were some signs that maybe this person could have been investigated, looked at a little more closely. But thus far, there's been nothing released on his record that would suggest that he was involved in anything criminal before now. So there is that. Sometimes these things can't be stopped. It looks like there were at least some hints here. Hopefully we can put that together and, if nothing else, learn for the future that maybe these are some things that we need to be worried about for future terrorist attacks, people that have the potential to engage themselves in terrorism.
I wonder what the apple they dangle in front of these kids is. How do they get them so radicalized? You know, these are not tiny children. These are like adolescents.
Yeah, usually around teenage years.
I just wonder what they're doing to really convince them that, because they have to be aware of what radical Muslim, before they become radicalized, they have to have read all the stories in the news about the terrorists, and they have to know what's going on. What's the attraction?
I think it's a sense of purpose, and I know that that purpose is a bad purpose, but I think when you're a teenager, and granted, this is not something that I personally went through because I had the scripture, I had Christianity to guide me through those years. But I think that when you feel like your life's not really going anywhere and you kind of feel marginalized or isolated, that you reach out for some kind of purpose and some kind of meaning in your life. And the idea of being a soldier in a holy war does appeal to people because that is something much larger than yourself. Now, it may not be a real holy war. It may not be that you're actually being righteous, but the idea of that, I think, does appeal to some people.
And the light goes on. That's what I've heard for years, that one of the attractions of the gang, Crips, Blood, that they take kids who are in a
gangs, cults,
and they become their family. They embrace them and become somebody who cares for them and pays attention to them. And that could be closely related to what the Muslims are doing.
Yeah, well, and another thing, too. Now, in this particular case, it's a little different. But even though I don't understand or try to justify what they're doing, obviously, I understand the message that Muslims become radicalized when people are in the Middle East, especially when there's a majority Muslim population. And they're saying, look, guys, we're not living the way the Quran tells us to live. Now, whether you believe that the Quran teaches that or not, that's really immaterial. They believe it. So they're saying, we're not living the way Allah wants us to. We're not living up to our religion. Because think about that. Doesn't that teaching hit home with us as Christians? When there's somebody coming out and saying, guys, we're not living the way the Bible tells us we're supposed to live. And if we're not, then it should resonate with us. And so in a similar sense, I think that same kind of mentality invades that young mind especially, saying, you know what, we're right. Our society isn't living the way that the Quran teaches, and we really should be going back to the fundamentals. And so I think that that does appeal to people, unfortunately. And it's sad, but we're seeing the results of that play out right now on the world stage. 860-1440 are the numbers. We'll be back.
Won't give you money, I can't give you the sky. You better off.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Whoever is an avowed enemy of God, I scruple not to call him an enemy to his country. John Witherspoon, signer of the Declaration of Independence.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. We are going to get back into the matter at hand, but before we did, I wanted to mention that there's going to be a big grand reopening weekend for the Montgomery Biscuits after the All-Star break, which we would encourage everybody to go out to. The Human Cannonball and David the Bullet Smith Jr. are going to be there after the game to perform for us. We've got a Jimmy Buffett-themed pub crawl post-game concert by Bama Breeze. All that's coming up on Thursday, June the 22nd. Then that Friday, they have an appearance by heavyweight champion Deontre Wilder. So, that's,
wow.
Yeah, that's going to be a big event.
Yeah, it is.
Let's see. Sunday, we've got a block party featuring Curtis Blow. I've not heard of him, but...
I think he's a rapper who...
That's why I haven't heard of him.
I'm
too white.
Well, trust me, I'm not familiar with his rap or his music or whatever. I was also reading some promotional material. I think he goes back to the late 80s.
Oh, well, maybe so. And then Sunday, they have Superheroes Night. And free
not like that?
Oh, yeah. And free admission to any child under 12 wearing a youth, sports, or association uniform. So... lots of great deals going on. We're going to have the big grand reopening weekend, so be sure to check that out at Riverwalk Stadium. So we've got something else to talk about that I wanted to bring up in the aftermath of everything that's happened with the London attack. Donald Trump gave his condolences, but then used the occasion as an opportunity to talk about his travel ban. So here's the thing. I'm actually in 100% agreeance with Donald Trump on the travel ban as far as the constitutionality of it goes, as far as I think that it's a good idea. The strict letter of the law, in other words, the executive order that he issued was not only completely constitutional, but on top of it, it was also a good idea. These countries that have majority Muslim populations and on top of that, have a history of terror and terror flowing in and out of their country, it makes sense to, if nothing else, halt travel on them temporarily to sort of get our bearings, try to figure out a way to sort through who's a friendly and who's not, and try to put that off at least for a while until we have a better idea of how to sort through that, or even if we can sort through it. So the temporary ban that was proposed in his executive order makes sense to me. I said that when it came out. I'm saying it now. And I even agree that even though we don't know much about the attackers yet, they could be refugees, they could be homegrown like the Manchester bomber was, it's important to understand that letting all kinds of people into your country without any idea whatsoever of who they are is a bad idea because you could have incidents like this. He got into a tweet war with the London mayor, Saqib Khan, who, by the way, is a Muslim. So there was he has that bias going towards him, the mayor does. He tweeted out not long after this, Saqib Khan, the mayor of London, did, that there is no need to be alarmed. Trump took issue with this, said, no, this is absolutely the time to be alarmed. There was just a terrorist attack and people are dead. So they went back and forth. Now, just observing the politics, whether you agree with this, disagree with it, whether you love Trump, hate Trump, doesn't really matter. This is part of the reason that Donald Trump got elected, because he's the guy that's willing to say, hey, look, the house is on fire. When everybody else is saying, no, everybody calm down, go back to sleep, it's okay, don't worry about it. So even if you don't like Trump, like I was never a supporter of him in the election, y'all know that, I've said that thousands of times. But from a political standpoint, part of the reason that Donald Trump is in the White House right now is because he's the guy that's willing to say, hey, the house is on fire, this is a really big problem, and we got to take care of it. Now, whether or not you agree with the solutions is a different matter entirely, but the point is, he's the guy that's willing to say that. And London, of all the cities out there, maybe with the exception of Paris, as far as that Western European city, it's probably the most politically correct. In fact, I would even argue that it's obscenely politically correct, and keep in mind, their mayor is a Muslim. This is proof that being super inclusive and accepting of Muslims is not a guarantee that terrorists will not attack you. Because this whole idea of being politically correct and playing nice with Muslims and that's going to stop terrorism, that doesn't work. Now, I'm not saying that we need to do the other thing, which is berate Muslims, try to keep them out, blame all Muslims, and paint with a broad brush, and that's not what Trump is saying either. But the point is, this idea that if we just play nice with the Muslims, then they're going to put down their guns and walk away because the whole reason that they kill us in the first place is because we're just mean to them, that's hogwash. They're wanting to establish a caliphate. They believe it is their destiny to control the world. So that's not something that's going to end just because people aren't saying mean things about them. Jihad is not about being accepted. It's about conquering. And that's something that a lot of the politically correct crowd does not understand. And that's the difference in the message of the gospel, which is a spiritual kingdom, and the message of theistic religions like Islam, like Judaism. I mean, not the spread of jihad part, but that it is a theistic government-styled religion. And so, in their mind, the only way to spread Islam is to create the caliphate and bring people under subjugation of the caliphate. But this is what I want to ask you, because I believe all that. I wanted to put that out there in the very forefront. But this is the question I want you to ask and I want you to think about. The Democrats, including London's mayor, including Al Gore and all those that came out, they're criticizing Trump for, quote unquote, using the tragedy to push his political agenda. But they're the same people that always push the gun agenda every time a shooting happens. So my question is, if you're upset with the liberals pushing their anti-gun agenda every time there's a shooting that occurs, are you not equally upset with Donald Trump for using this to try to further his political agenda? Something to think about.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
What's up, preacher man?
Authorities in the Orlando shooting are issuing a press conference. We go there now on The Patriot Preacher. Welcome back, everybody. Hour 2 of The Patriot Preacher is on now. We do have the press conference that we're trying to get live coverage of streaming here in just a second. For those of you who are unaware, maybe missed the first hour, what's going on is there was a shooting in Orlando, multiple fatalities, 5 fatalities in total if you're including the shooter in that. So thus far, we don't know a whole lot about it. Hopefully, this press conference is going to give us some valuable insight into that. So what we're trying to do is, from a technology standpoint, we're trying to go ahead and cue in to live feed of the press conference. Looks like that we do have coverage of it, but let's see what we've got here. Looks like, is it over already? Maybe.
Well, I believe it's still going on. One feed, I think is featuring one press conference, and then we have CNN. Nope, that's different. They're talking about the travel ban.
Yeah, it looks like they're not covering that right now, so we may have to wait on going to that.
What it looks like to me, it's their regular programming. Well, not CNN is carrying right now the travel ban.
Hold on. Let's see what we got here.
So,
Okay. They're... I've got live coverage of it here.
Let's try another link. Oh, you have live coverage on CNN on your laptop?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why that's not the same on your computer, but that's weird.
Well,
okay.
We're looking at it. I don't... that is CNN.
Yes, see. Okay, the latest, based on the press conference that we're seeing right now, is that the authorities have confirmed it is a workplace fatality, and it looks like they are saying, and just confirming what we've already reported, which is it's a workplace shooting that does not appear to have any links to any sort of international terrorism. It appears as though that's the story that they're going with, and they don't have any evidence to support the other theories.
Okay.
All right, we got it.
Yeah, it's coming. Let's see.
Okay, so you're seeing what I'm seeing now, so this should be right. All right, yeah, Joe, that's an ad. Knock it down. All right. Well, you know, that's how the media works. We got to do that advertising, or else we can't keep the lights on in here. But
why can't we skip the ad? I guess not.
Yeah, we're not that. We don't have that much authority. But anyway, all right. This is really, ladies and gentlemen, why we need live cable feed in here, because we don't have that right now. We're having to rely on the internet, but it looks like we should be coming to a head. Can we go to that now?
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like we've got the coverage.
I will tell you up front that
not much
it is our plan to do another press briefing at 1 o'clock or 1 p.m. today, in which at that time we will identify, hopefully we will be able to identify the victims and other individuals that were involved in this incident.
Sheriff, do you know where this happened in this building?
This is, as you can see behind us, it's a fairly sizable business, and the people who came to work this morning were going about their business, but it occurred in multiple different locations there in the business, and shooter himself actually took his life, and he's actually inside the business.
Do you know where specifically?
Did this man have to follow somebody in to get inside? Did he threaten people to get his way inside? What do you know about
I don't
that?
Have all the details at this point how he was able to get into the building. We are interviewing the surviving witnesses at this point, and we'll better understand that and perhaps brief you at 1 p.m.
Any survivors shot or hurt?
None of the survivors were shot or hurt.
How many employees were there when all of this was happening? Do you guys know? How many employees total?
There was probably 12 employees that were inside the building at the time.
At this point, do you know if he was shooting at random or going for specific targets?
Again, we're debriefing the eyewitnesses at this point.
So, Sheriff, just to confirm, there are different victims in different rooms, correct?
We have multiple victims that are still inside, and we're going through that crime scene at this point. Again, once we know more about what is occurring within the crime scene, we will share that information.
Sheriff, are you able to speak to the level of response here? You know, you have multiple agencies, the FBI included, especially the fact that it's 1 week of the firm charge, 1 year since terrorism, of course, being on a lot of people's minds.
Well, we're all on a heightened alert here in our community, as well as across America, across the globe, because of many of the incidents that have now happened in the United Kingdom. So this is one holy period of time during Ramadan, in which we within the law enforcement community, both federal, state, and local, have increased our concerns and our response and our analytical capabilities during this period of time. So we cannot, again, connect this incident. It appears that this incident has nothing to do with any global terror activities.
And, Sheriff, do you know if the suspect killed the person he was accused of battering back in 2014?
It does not appear at this time, the preliminary information I received, that the person that he battered in June of 2014 or was accused of battering is not one of the victims today.
Sheriff Demings, you've laid out that he's had a history, you just spoke about it, at this location in 2014. Since he was fired or let go in April of this year, has he made any threats, or did he make any threats to the business or the people in that time period?
We have no reports of any specific threats to members of this business or otherwise. This is an internationally owned business. I'm told that the ownership group, they are Italian. Some of them may live in Italy itself, and then one of the principals, I believe, lives in Boston. So that's the connection.
What's the name?
We will not release the name at this time. We're still going through that process. Of notifying appropriate family members, etc. So at 1 p.m., it will be our goal to release the names of the people involved.
Hey, Sheriff, can you talk about the motivation behind this? I mean, you said it's an instance of workplace violence. Could you give any more details about that?
Well, obviously, this individual, the subject that was involved today, the shooter, was carrying a gun and a knife. He had formerly worked here, was fired because of different activities here at this business that I won't get into at this time, but because he came back to this business and shot people who he had formerly worked with, it is akin to a workplace violence situation.
Sheriff,
all
do
right.
you know if he
thank
just
you all very much.
Sheriff,
so 1 o'clock, we'll come back.
Mayor Jacobs, can we get a question with Mayor Jacobs? Mayor Jacobs, can we get a
all right, yeah, let's come back from that. Okay, so basically, if you want a summary of what we've been notified of now, this guy used to work there. He's not being identified yet. They plan on releasing the names at the press conference they're going to have at 1 p.m. this afternoon. So just as a summary of what's going on right now is they're working on that. They're working on the investigation. The sheriff there does confirm that they have yet to link that to terrorism. They have not yet ruled it out. They're saying it doesn't bear any of the markers of terrorism, so they're not treating it like a terrorism attack. It's probably a workplace violence. They've not ruled anything out yet because, like he said, especially with everything that's going on in Manchester and London and the fact that it is Ramadan, which is when terrorist activity typically ramps up. Ramadan last year, for example, was marked by the most activity of terrorism of any month. So it's something that we're concerned about. It looks like it's something that they're doing their due diligence on. I'm sure they're going to do their best to get to the bottom of this, but right now there's just not that much information. We'll be keeping an eye on it. 1 o'clock today should be able to know a little bit more about it, know a little bit about the attacker. Apparently he was accused of battery back in the day. The person that he had an incident with in 2014 was not present, was not one of the victims. So just keep all that in mind. That's what we've got so far. We're going to take a commercial break here in just a second. We'll be right back.
And I don't want to think about tomorrow.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and newsradio1440.com. 860-1440, as always, are the numbers if you want to call, weigh in. Wanted to bring this to your attention because apparently this took place in the press conference before we were able to join it. CBS News is reporting, this is a tweet that was put out by CBS News. Police say that suspect was a disgruntled former employee who killed five people before turning the gun on himself in an Orlando business shooting. Now, why that is significant is because the wording says he killed five people before turning the gun on himself, which would mean, because we've been reporting and the news has been reporting, that five people were killed, including the shooter. What this is saying is he killed five people and then turned the gun on himself, which would mean it was five victims and then himself. So
it would have to be. He couldn't shoot five victims after he had
Well, yeah.
turned the gun.
But what I'm saying is what they have been reporting previously is he killed five people are dead, including the shooter himself. In other words, four victims and the shooter.
Oh,
What the CBS report is saying is he killed five people and then shot himself.
Oh, I got it, yeah.
So that what we've done is increase the number of victims, according to this report. So that is the latest update by CBS News, who was covering the press conference that we just brought to you. It appears as though there were five victims, and then the shooter killed himself as well.
Shooter certainly was no victim.
No, certainly not. The victim of his own actions is the
craziness.
The only way that you could put that. So that is the deal. Unfortunately, though, it looks like that is really the only news that we have to give to you on that. That's the only information we have at this moment. There will be another press conference, according to the sheriff who's in charge of this investigation. Another press conference will be issued at 1 o'clock, which Joe was very astute to point out means that it'll be 12 o'clock our time because, of course, they're in the Eastern time zone there in Orlando. So they'll issue it at 1 o'clock their time, 12 our time. Maybe Rush will be covering this. We won't be here, obviously. We'll probably be talking about this at least a little bit tomorrow, bringing you more of the details. But that's what's going on right now. All right. Did want to shift gears here because, unfortunately, there's not any new information coming out right now, and we'll just kind of have to wait to see what's going on to be able to cover that. I wanted to bring this up because it's one of those make your eyes bleed moments. Nancy Pelosi over the weekend was talking about the Paris Climate Accords. We discussed these ad nauseum on Friday. And Nancy Pelosi actually had the gall to say this, that Trump's decision to pull out of the Paris Accord is a dishonor to God. Now, I'm sitting here listening to this, and this is the same Nancy Pelosi that has fiercely defended legalized abortion over and over and over again, despite the fact that she's a Catholic who her own religion teaches and her own church teaches. Now, I'm not a Catholic, but she is. That abortion is an abomination against God, that it is sinful, that it is in opposition to the teachings of the Scripture and the teachings of Jesus Christ. She also, sort of in conjunction with this, defended the federal funding for Planned Parenthood, so advocated for taking money out of your pocket and give it to the nation's single largest provider of abortions. And on top of that, so she not only wants the Fed, she wants federal tax money to go to the single largest provider of abortions, but takes it a step further by saying this directly after the videos broke, where several higher-ups in the Planned Parenthood organization were caught on tape admitting that they were breaking, at the very least, two federal laws. The trafficking of baby parts, which is 100% illegal, and also the altering of the abortion procedure to harvest said parts. So both of those are a violation of federal law. And even after that, without any investigation, without wanting any further looks into Planned Parenthood, still with a lot of vigor defended the federal funding of Planned Parenthood. Also, she supported contraception being mandated in Obamacare. Now, I don't have a problem with most forms of contraception as long as they halt the birth process before fertilization happens. But Catholics do. And Nancy Pelosi, being a Catholic, you would think that she wouldn't have supported a mandate for contraception. In fact, Catholic nuns who run the Little Sisters of the Poor had to shut down their charitable donation organization to help poor people because doing so meant that they, even as a charity, had to provide contraception through health care to their employees, which is against their religious beliefs. And so people within her own faith were stopped from engaging in charitable work because of decisions that she made and defended Obamacare even after that came to light. Nancy Pelosi also supported state and federal recognition of gay marriage, which again, according to the Catholics' own doctrine and their teachings is not something that is acceptable according to the scripture. Something I happen to agree with, but the point is, even her own faith and her own church leaders are diametrically opposed to this. I really do think that on occasion, Nancy Pelosi's mouth just keeps running and her brain shuts off. In other words, I don't think she can actually hear herself speak sometimes. Maybe she's just that tone deaf and doesn't put together the irony there. But when she's criticizing Donald Trump for, quote unquote, dishonoring God, for him not staying into an agreement with other countries to give them $3 billion to clean up their environments, not ours. But she's perfectly fine with a policy that has killed 58 million children over the past 40 years. Even though that's in direct contradiction to her own faith, it seems like you would be a lot more concerned about the 58 million children than you would how high the CO2 levels are going to be in 100 years. Especially considering that particular accord would have only decreased the planet's temperature by 0.05%. So, I really can't tell if Nancy Pelosi really is that tone deaf or she's just doesn't care. I tend to think that it's this. And we're going to get into this in just a second because we do have a commercial break quickly approaching. I think that with Nancy Pelosi, like it is with most politicians, God is merely a gun to be drawn when convenient and to be stashed away in the closet when it would be an inconvenience. In other words, she's perfectly fine calling on God when she thinks that it suits her purposes. But the second that it becomes inconvenient for her to hold her stances and maintain her faith, well, her political stance comes first. We're going to talk about that in just a second. 860-1440 are the numbers.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
A watchful eye must be kept on ourselves, lest, while we're building ideal monuments of renown and bliss here, we neglect to have our names enrolled in the annals of heaven. James Madison.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. Now, I hesitate to make this next statement because goodness knows this isn't technically news, but Nancy Pelosi has put her foot in her mouth. I know that that's not surprising to anybody, but over the weekend, Nancy Pelosi said that Trump's decision to pull out of the Paris Accords is a dishonor to God. Now, in context, you would think that it makes a little more sense, but actually, no, it really doesn't. The reason that she brought this up is because at Trump's recent visit to meet the Pope, the leader of the church Nancy Pelosi claims to be a part of, when he went to meet with the Pope gave him a book on global warming, and the mental hoops that Nancy Pelosi jumps through is that because, I guess, the Pope believes in global warming, that God must be real concerned with it. I'm pretty sure that God could keep the climate stable regardless of what people do. I mean, we could literally just be churning out engines that just produce CO2, and I'm pretty sure God could save the planet if he wanted to. But my point in all of that is, when she's talking about this, if her logic is, because, you know, I'm not Catholic, so really the Pope's opinions on religious matters don't mean anything to me. But let's try to look at this from Nancy Pelosi's standpoint. Let's look at it from the standpoint of someone who is a member of the Catholic faith. If her logic is, well, the Pope says it, ergo, we should be concerned about it, then by her logic, she should be a lot more concerned about abortion, gay marriage. She should be more concerned about contraception, which she openly advocated for being mandated as a part of Obamacare, not only that people have to be covered with it, but that you as an employer, whether you're Catholic or not, have to provide something that is a violation of your faith to other people, to your own employees. You must use your own money to provide a service that is deemed sinful by the Catholic Church to other people. So that's where Nancy Pelosi is. If that was her logic, see, like I said, you would think maybe understanding her comments in context would make them seem better. Actually, they really don't, because if her logic is, well, the Pope is concerned about this, ergo you should be concerned about it, then she still comes out on the losing side of that argument. Now, I've never been the person that advocates for Trump's spirituality or his moral fiber. I'm just saying that if there's one person I don't want to be lectured on by what is or is not a disgrace to God, it's Nancy Pelosi. So, that being said, I think that this all stems from a common problem that takes place within the political realm. And I'm going to give a couple of examples here. Like most politicians, Nancy Pelosi believes that God is a weapon to be drawn when needed and stashed away and hidden when his presence would be an inconvenience. In other words, whenever she believes that God would be on, quote-unquote, her side of the argument, she's quick to draw him out and talk about how God is important and we should be listening to what he says. And then the second one of her political stances is in contradiction to the doctrine she believes God gave. Well, her political stance must be more important in that particular situation because, pun somewhat intended here, God forbid that she would have to advocate for pro-life or people being able to choose whether or not they offer contraception or speaking out against the evils of homosexuality and the destructive nature of that lifestyle. Then all of a sudden religion doesn't matter. Then we shouldn't be talking about religion in the public square. We shouldn't be in what she would say, quote unquote, forcing our beliefs on other people. But it's okay to force our beliefs on other people when it comes to what she believes God would say about climate change in the form of taking $3 billion out of our pockets and giving them to other countries in the name of honoring God in her opinion. So that being said, most politicians run into this issue. It's not just the Democrats either. Let's take a look right here in our own home state of Alabama. How many times have we seen this politician or that politician come out with political ads talking about how strong faith is part of their platform, part of who they are? It affects their decisions, it affects their lifestyle, it will affect how they perform in office. And then we find out later when they're in office, they really aren't all that concerned with what God would worry about when it comes to their policy issues. And on occasion, we find out they've been, embezzling money or maybe sleeping with a political advisor. Just saying. So Nancy Pelosi's not the only one with this problem. Another example that I thought of that was just kind of a way to illustrate how deep-seated this problem is. Let's look at Robert Byrd for a moment. Now, Robert Byrd, for those of you who may not remember, prominent Democrat senator for a long time, and from West Virginia, he was also a former Klansman. And when I say Klansman, I'm not saying that he was a racist. I'm not saying he was involved in these other racist tendencies. Of course he was. What I'm saying is he was a legitimate, actual member of the Klan. I'm not using editorialization to say that he was like a Klansman. I'm saying he was an actual Klansman. So, an actual member of the Ku Klux Klan, prominent Democrat senator from West Virginia, in his eulogy, Bill Clinton spoke at his funeral. And to a crowd of politicians, I think that this statement makes a lot of sense. To them. What he was saying is, I know that people made a big deal about Robert Byrd being a member of the Klan. Well, let me tell you something about that. And I'm paraphrasing here, but this is pretty close to what Bill Clinton said. He said, what that meant was Robert Byrd was a good old boy that had to essentially be a member of the Klan in order to get elected. See, the vast majority of the people at Robert Byrd's funeral were politicians. To them, this makes sense, because the only sin that you can commit as a politician is to not get votes. Because whether or not you have a moral aversion to the Klan or not, If it's to get votes, it's perfectly acceptable. You join the Klan, you get the votes, you get an office, and then you do whatever you need. See, to a crowd of politicians, which Bill Clinton was speaking to at this time, this is probably a pretty good justification for being in the Klan. It doesn't really matter how morally abhorrent the action is, as long as you're getting elected. That's really the end goal of those in Washington, the vast majority of people in Washington. And so to them, I think it made sense. And really, this is the same thing that Nancy Pelosi is going through right now, and what I've been saying for a long time, which is, it's a faith of convenience. When it's convenient for them to talk about God, they can talk about God. When what God said would contradict what they're trying to do in the public square, well, we have to ignore God, we can't talk about that, that's different, that's politics, or that's religion, and religion should never merge with politics. You see, they only want God there when they want him there. They want God there on their terms, not on his. And that's a fundamental flaw that we can run into. Why is this happening with politicians? I hate to say it, but I think because that's the way most Americans are when it comes to God. We're fine talking about God when it suits our interest. We're fine bringing him into our lives when it's beneficial to us. Then when it gets hard to being a Christian, we may have to do something else there. How many times have we been okay with God being a part of our life when it's convenient, but when we have to start doing those hard things about Christianity, when we have to, you know, forgive our enemies or tell the truth when it's uncomfortable, then all of a sudden God's not all that important to us. Then all of a sudden we can kind of just fudge the rules a little bit. You see, the reason we keep electing these people, because, like it or not, our politicians are a reflection of us, to a great degree. And I think when our society stopped honoring God, that's when we started electing people that don't honor God either. All right, we got Mike on the phones. Let's go to Mike on line one. Good morning.
Is that me?
Yep, that's you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this thing about Nancy Pelosi and pulling up her religion card, she's a, what I call a three-time-a-year Catholic anyway. You know, Christmas, New Year's, Easter, that kind of thing, if at all. But the Democrats' religion is global warming or the old pagan religions, you know, that celebrated nature. They can go to church all they want to. They can call themselves whatever, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, whatever. But their religion is global warming.
Well, that's a part of their religion to a great degree.
Climate change. Well, I mean, if you look at it, if you look at how they approach it and how they promote it and everything, they're just naturists and they're paganists. That's basically it. They can tell you that they're a Christian or atheist or whatever, and it really goes back to the fall of the Soviet Union. You had a lot of socialists that didn't have anywhere to go. So they picked up on the climate change and the global warming thing, and they've been promoting it ever since. That's my take on it.
Yeah, and thank you for that, Mike. That's where you're running into an issue with that, is because it's not their whole religion, but it's a part of it. Because what does every religion have to have? An apocalypse story. To the vast majority of the progressives in this country, global warming is their version of the Book of Revelation. It's their apocalypse story. And so that's how they treat it. They have to have an end-of-the-world story, a way that, because that's, whether you're a pagan, whether you're Muslim, whatever it is, every religion has to have an apocalypse story, and for the vast majority of liberals, that's theirs. All right. We are running out of time. Star Spangled Sermon coming up next. We'll be back.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and newsradio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to weigh in. And just a quick housekeeping thing before we get into the Star Spangled Sermon. No show tomorrow. I will be judging a debate contest for the State FFA Association. So I will actually be there tomorrow. I've got lots of students coming in. It's a contest I did back when I was in high school, so I'm going to be helping them with their debate. Judging them will determine the state winner, and then I'll be back on Wednesday. So no show tomorrow. It'll be a best of, but just be aware of that. We'll have a best of show for you on that in the morning. All right. So Star Spangled Sermon. This is one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible. One of my all-time favorites. And I think the reason that I like it so much is because it shows us a very human side of Jesus after the most non-human thing that he did in his entire life, which is, of course, coming back from the dead. It really shows that Jesus, even though he was God, he was still a person. He was still a human being that lived amongst us. And interestingly enough, it also shows a very human side of Peter. After perhaps the most human moment of his life, making a huge mistake, denying Christ. This is not long after the crucifixion. Jesus has been resurrected, but really the last memory, with the exception of him revealing himself to the apostles, that Peter has of Christ is denying him before the crucifixion. This is still something that's very fresh on Peter's mind. Something that I'm sure he agonized over for days before this event takes place. This episode is just Jesus having breakfast by a campfire with his best friends. It's a very human moment for him. Peter and John recognize him from their fishing boat, and they jump out to go greet him. And Jesus sits there, just talking with them, cooks breakfast, and they sit there and eat and talk, just like we do with our friends and family. John 21:15-17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Now, there's a lot of theories on why Jesus would say this three times over, why the repetition. But I think that he did this for the same reason that Jesus did pretty much everything in his life. To use it as a teaching moment. To make a point. Very popular theory, one that I even subscribe to, is that it kind of mirrors Peter's denial. That it reminded him that three times, knowingly, intentionally, Peter denied that he even knew who Jesus was. Wouldn't even admit that he had met the man before. The truth is, Peter's betrayal was just as sinful, just as vitriolic, just as wrong as Judas's betrayal. The difference is, Judas gave up. He hung himself. I believe to this day that Judas could have been saved. He could have repented. He could have come back to Christ. But he chose to drown in his sorrows instead. Peter took a different path. I'm sure he was hurt by his own actions, wrestled with himself over it, but he came back. He repented. Here's what we do know. Because we don't know why exactly maybe Jesus chose to teach in this way, but we know that he was trying to teach something, that he was trying to make a point. And we know that the point that he was making is he was trying to reassure Peter that if you love me, the natural reaction to that love should be to take care of the people that I love. Take care of my sheep. We know from Matthew 22, 35, and 40 what Jesus considered the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Really, that's all Jesus is saying here. He's saying, Peter, if you love me, and Peter responds with, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And I'm not sure that he was so much telling Jesus as he was trying to convince himself that he really did love him. And so Jesus' response is, Peter, if you really love me, if you're sincere, if you mean what you are saying, and you've really come back from where you were, then you'll tend my sheep. You'll take care of the people that I've given you charge over. You will look after those that are in my kingdom. It's interesting. After this huge betrayal, after Peter three times had said that I don't even know who Jesus is, he's the person that Jesus trusted to shepherd his sheep. I'm thankful every day that our God is a God of second chances. He believed in giving Peter a second chance, and his faith was not unfounded. Stay the course, friends.
The Patriot Preacher on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.